We're one of the largest children's hospices in the country. We actually look after a population of about, or a catchment area, should I say, of about 7.5 million people. So it's virtually all of South London and all of Surrey and the surrounding areas on there. What we do is we offer respite care and end-of-life care to children with a life-limiting illness. Total support to the families, and as soon as people get referred to us, we actually envelope them in care. It costs us over £11 million a year to run, and we get less than 10% from central funding, from the NHS and from government contracts.
And how has that worked out, the way that the government offers grants to charities?
It's very ad hoc. If you look at the average that children's hospices get throughout the country, the average is 15%, and we get less than 10%. Adult hospices get 30%, so there really is no equity. And I think one of the key things for us as a local hospice, and actually as a, in terms of a national organisation, if you like, of children's hospices, we don't get enough funding. We don't get equity with the adult side. And I think the adult side are struggling a lot. This year saw the first closure of an adult hospice, and only last week, one major children's hospice in the Midlands had to close one of their units simply for lack of funding.
How often is the grant process reviewed?
Well, you apply almost all the time. You're putting pressure on the NHS all of the time. But we got a review in about 2010, and this year we got a small uplift. Our grant from NHS England was about 640,000. It's now gone up to almost 690,000. But truthfully, that's peanuts. If you look at the cost pressures over the last 3 years, our biggest asset are our staff, and our clinical staff especially. We have to compete with the NHS to attract the very best staff, and having the very best staff is massively important to us. The NHS over last year, this year and next year have increased staff salaries absolutely in turn with agenda for change, quite rightly so. But we also have to pay that, and it's meaning about £300,000 to us. Now, the NHS can claim that back from central government. The independent hospice sector cannot, so that's another cost on our bottom line. Our community are absolutely fantastic. They're brilliant. They raise so much money for us. You know, they help us raise over £9 million every year. Yet the government give us a very small amount, and we need more to make sure that we're sustainable for the future. We've had to really refocus our care this year, and now we are focusing on children and families who are actually in the latter stages of life. We've had to put social respite care to a degree on hold for the next 12 months.
Because have you seen people wanting to come to the hospice or to use the facilities, have you seen that increase over the past few years?
In the last 12 months, it's increased 38%.
Why do you think that is? Is it because your people are more aware of you, or is it simply because you've expanded your catchment area, or why has it increased 38%?
We have built up the expertise for dealing with the most complex children and families. We get more and more referrals from all of the major acute hospitals. We can care for them so well. We offer both end of life, which is absolutely a fantastic service, but also the respite care to children on ventilators, children with very limited use of their limbs or no use of their limbs at all. And this isn't one-to-one care. This is two-to-one care in many cases that we're offering. And we have the ability to be able to do that. What we can do is we can do it in a calmer environment than in the NHS. The NHS is brilliant at what it does, but we do it slightly differently. We invest in additional staffing. We make sure that the charitable money that we raise from our community really goes into the very best care. In actual fact, you know, when a child passes away, we have lovely, calm, tranquil suites where actually we can hold that child for about a week. The family can come in, they can spend as much time as they want to with that child. We have a lounge facility, they can sleep there as well, and it's the best, calmest way to say goodbye to the dearest thing that's going to be in your life.
But that must put an immense pressure on you as a charity.
It's emotional pressure. It doesn't take any staff time to actually provide this facility. Takes nothing. It really doesn't. All we do is we just give the family the ability and the time to be able to spend time with their dearest. We never turn anyone away. What we do is we offer the services that we can offer to those in the most need, although every family that comes to us has a key worker. And although we might not be able to give them respite care, they can certainly avail themselves of all the other wonderful things we do. They can come in, they can have our daycare facilities, they can use our hydrotherapy pool, they can have the pamper days and everything else. All we're doing at this moment in time, and as I said, it's a temporary measure until we get our funding sustained, is to actually cut back our respite care to those families that need it most at this time. I would also say is that someone asked me the other day how many hospices I run, and they expected me to say two, but actually we run about 700, simply because we offer exactly the same care in people's homes. In fact, we do far more in the community than we do actually in the hospice building. It's going to be actually down to the MPs. We have 44 MPs in our catchment area. I've written to every one of them. Some have got back to me. at this moment, the replies are still coming in, so I can't give you an exact number. But should I say, I would say it's about 10% at this moment in time. But also what I'm doing is that Siobhan McDonough, who actually is one of the local MPs in Merton, she's sponsoring a room at the House of Commons. And I'm writing back to all of the MPs, inviting them on the 3rd of July to come and see me. Now, actually, that will probably be a gauge of what's happening. But, you know, at this moment in time, quite honestly, you know, without being political, I am smiling to myself because yesterday we heard all of these, you know, contenders coming up. We're going to cut taxes. We're going to do this, that, and the other. Please, somebody, just think about end-of-life care for children and for adults. Put some money into there. Why cut taxes when actually we need such a little amount of money to be able to give us sustainability in the future?
What can these MPs that you've written to actively do to help the charity?
Okay. The government, just before Christmas, I think it was something like the 22nd of December, made an announcement that £14 million was going to go into children's hospices. Now, if you think there are just over 40 children's hospices in the country, that would have made a huge amount of money. It was the best Christmas present me and my colleagues could have actually had. About 3 weeks later, another announcement came out is that they got it slightly wrong. They were now going to spread the £14 million across children's palliative care. Now, that means acute hospitals as well. We are now 7 months almost further on. We have no clarity on where that money is going to come from or where it's going to be. So there is money there. It's actually been put aside specifically for children's palliative care. But as I said, we are struggling. We are having to cut services. We're going to have to refocus our services. And yet they're still prevaricating over how they're going to distribute that money. I would say to the MPs, please, you know, make sure you put pressure on the NHS England to make sure that we get it back. We're refocusing our services, as I said, to those children and families who need our services most of all. And this is for the next 12 months. Well, we're actually actively caring for about 700 families in total. Okay. We're looking at 200 in terms of bereavement support, and that's ongoing. And please don't underestimate bereavement support. It's massively important. If you can imagine, you know, losing a child, what a traumatic effect that has on your life. So by offering bereavement support, it actually keeps families together. We found that. But also, 500 are actively getting care at this moment in time.
What do you have to say to your supporters?
Well, do what you can. But honestly, our supporters are brilliant. If there are supporters out there that can do a little bit more, then now is the time to do it because we need it. But honestly, everybody gets involved in our events. We had our Sunshine Walk 2 weeks ago in Ham. We've got another one in Guildford in 2 weeks' time. We had 450 families there. Then we have our celebrity support. And our celebrity, you know, we have a massive ball every year, which is really high profile. And the celebrities do what they can. But actually, you know, they spread amongst several charities, so we can't expect too much from them. But this £9 million that we have to raise for a regional charity is a huge amount of money. Our community come up to it, and actually, I feel almost embarrassed to say to them, help us raise another million, because I honestly feel in my heart that that is the role of central government. They get a very cheap, fantastic service from us. We're outstandingly rated by CQC. We do everything possible. You know, we are getting shortchanged, honestly, by the government.